Well, to start off with this morning, I want to get an indication from you guys here. Anyone here ever been into a prison before? Like a real working prison, not just like old Dubbo jail or something like that. Anyone here been into a fully working prison before? No one? Must mean you're all law-abiding citizens or something like that. I remember several years ago visiting a young man in Goulburn Jail. And if any of you know about Goulburn Jail, it's also called Supermax. The young man in question was the son of a lady that I knew from a church that I used to go to speak regularly. And this young man was in the maximum security section of the prison. In order to see him, I had to arrive half an hour early to show my ID twice before being escorted through two large thick doors into a large open room where prisoners could just sit down on stools around small tables to talk with their visitor. I had never met this guy before, so when I was sitting down there waiting for him to be brought in, I was surprised when he was being led over to the table, and I was surprised at his sort of small size and stature. He was an ordinary looking young man of no particular note. The visit was limited to an hour, and over the course of the next hour, I found out a little bit more of that young man's story. And I found it quite hard to reconcile that young man's quiet and polite, almost timid manner with the fact that he was currently a prisoner in maximum security. It just seemed quite strange. And you may be wondering, as I was at the time, wondering how the son of what seemed to be like an ordinary and a good Christian lady end up being a prisoner. Well, I still don't know to this day all of the details of this young man's story, but I do know that it started with him getting involved with the wrong crowd. The guys that he hung around with, the people that he called friends, turned to crime to make a living. And it just so happened that one day he ended up being the driver of a getaway car after a particularly vicious robbery. And when they were caught by the police, his friends basically dobbed him in as being the ringleader of it all. Now, we might like to think that such a thing could never happen to us, but if you're not careful with the company that you choose, it's possible for things to go bad quite quickly. According to King Solomon, the key to staying out of trouble lies with paying attention to God's instruction. Staying out of trouble requires listening to God's word. In verse 8, Solomon's readers are pictured as sons who are called upon to listen to the instruction that is given to them by their father and mother. Now, ideally, if the family unit is working properly, the father and the mother both know and understand God's word, and they pass down the knowledge of God's word to their children. And as they pass down God's word to their children, we should be willing to listen to them as our parents. To the extent that our parents understand the word of God, we should respect their wisdom. But sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes there can be families which are dysfunctional. But here we need to realise that Solomon's not just talking about fathers and mothers as if that's all there is. In a sense, he, as the king of the nation, is like a father to all of the citizens of that kingdom. And he too was passing down God's word to his children, the citizens of his kingdom. This helps us to see that the word of God comes to us not only by the way of our parents. And one of the key functions of a church is instruction. And that's what we're on about here. At 5C, our church has a number of groups that are aimed at passing on down God's instruction to his people. We have Sunday school. We've got youth group. We've got men's fellowship, women's fellowship, the adult Bible study. Why do we have these things? The aim is to help you to understand more of God's plan, to see how you fit into why God created this world and what God is doing through Jesus and through the power of His Spirit. In the busyness of your life, don't forsake the instruction that comes from God via this church. Now, I know that for some of you, 9:30 is perhaps a little bit too early to come to adult Bible study or something like that. Maybe even at times for some of you, 11 o'clock might be a bit too early too, particularly if you've had a late night out with friends. But if a late night out on Saturday is stopping you from learning more about God and His amazing plan for this universe, then, as far as God is concerned, you really are missing out on a golden opportunity. Perhaps you think you don't need this instruction. Perhaps you think you know it all. But that's not how God thinks. We always need to be reminded of the things we know and have the opportunity to learn more. In verse 9, Solomon tells us why we should be listening and paying attention to God's instruction. God's word is like a garland of grace on our head, like a precious necklace. Donning a garland and being decked out in a valuable necklace is a picture of honour and wealth. Solomon is reminding us here that the key to true honour and riches in life, it's not being in a high-paying job or being successful in business. A lot of people like to think that way, but that's not how it works. According to the creator of this universe, it's not how it works. And friends, this is coming from King Solomon. Remember, the scriptures said about Solomon that he was greater in riches than all the other kings of the earth. Solomon had 23 metric tons of gold coming into his treasury each year. Think about that. 23 tons of gold every year. Not to mention the revenues coming in from duties on trade or taxes at the provincial level. 23 tons of gold each year. That's an awesome amount of gold. Solomon was famous for his wealth. So if there's anyone who could speak about worldly wealth, it's Solomon. But here we have Solomon telling us that true honour and riches come from listening to God's instruction, from having God's word written in your heart. Solomon is telling us this from his own personal experience. When God appeared to him at Gibeon, promising to give him whatever he asked for, did Solomon ask for wealth and riches? He didn't ask for that. He asked for wisdom. But because he asked God for wisdom, God also promised to give Solomon both riches and honour. From this, we can see, just as Solomon knew from his own personal experience, that the key to true honour and wealth is wisdom. Knowing the word of God and being wise as a result leads to blessing. That's the way the Bible puts it. Getting a good mark in the HSC or landing a good job, they may make your future here on earth easier in some ways, but they aren't the key to true honour and wealth. Honour and wealth comes from wisdom, from paying attention to God and His instruction. You know, friends, we invest so much time and energy each week trying to make money or earn a wage or study to do well at school or at uni. But how much time and energy do we give God? How much time and energy do we spend investing in the honour and riches that are imperishable rather than those that are perishable, which can be taken away in an instant, which you can't take down to the grave with you? Now, in particular, God wants each one of us to clearly understand the following instruction. Wisdom is about staying away from all enticements to sin. If there are other people around who are enticing you to do something wrong, then Solomon says, don't go near them. Don't join in with what they're doing. Now, the particular example that Solomon has in mind in verses 11 through to 14 is joining in with a band of robbers who are prepared to kill to achieve their goal of worldly gain. Now, all of us are influenced by others to some extent, but I imagine most of us here have never received that kind of invitation before. But there are other kinds of invitation that we can receive. When others invite you to do something wrong, or just because you're there as part of a larger group who wants to do something that you understand is wrong, what do? Are you prepared to be strong and say, no, I'm not going to do that? Or you guys shouldn't be doing that? Haven't you thought about the consequences? Or God says that is wrong? What do? Do you join in with them? Or do you refuse the enticement? Friends, there will be times when the world promises you worldly wealth or some kind of favour or honour through unjust means. They're shortcuts. People offer you these shortcuts to whatever it is that you want. What do robbers do? They want money and what money can do for them. But instead of working for it in a legitimate way, what do? They seek to shortcut the process. Instead of realizing that true wealth comes from wisdom, which in turn comes from listening to God's word, robbers try to gain a measure of wealth and shortcut the process by stealing the wealth that belongs to others. That's what they're doing. There are people out there who think that they can fast track themselves to wealth by deception and fraud or by downright robbery. At times, you'll be caught up with people like that, perhaps. At times, you'll hear messages like that. Why not cut this corner in order to get ahead in life? And at times, the people you're with, the world that we live in, it can be quite persuasive. Join in with us. It'll be good. You'll be better off. You can become wealthy. Your pockets will be full of cash. And you'll be able to buy a nice, neat house with all the latest mod cons. Join in with us and we'll share the spoils together. You heard someone else saying that before? It's exactly like the words that Satan offered to Jesus when he was trying to tempt him. Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. But Solomon says to us, my son, don't go along with them. Stop yourself from following in their footsteps. Don't go down the wrong path. Friends, our job is to resist the world, not to go along with it. And this means that if your friends invite you to do drugs, to drink alcohol to excess, to use sex as if it's just something done for pleasure without any commitment, to get involved in some kind of scam or dodgy business deal, turn your back. Turn your back on their suggestion. Don't go along with them just for the sake of being one of the mates. You know, that young man that I was talking about, that young man that I saw in the jail at that time, it was the bonds of friendship that led him to drive the getaway car for his mates. And it led him directly to jail. Friends, it's not worth it. There's no shortcut to enduring wealth or meaningful pleasure. It's either God's way or the shortcut that leads directly to hell. Solomon talks about this in terms of how the schemes of the wicked end up backfiring. People who go through all these shortcuts, they end up shooting themselves in the foot. Their schemes end up landing back upon their own heads. Their feet run to do evil. They hasten to shed blood or do whatever it is they want to do. Anything that helps them achieve their selfish aims. But it's useless. In the end, it will bite you. It's not worth it in the long term. As Solomon says, it's useless to spread a net on the ground if the birds with wings have already seen you put it there. They won't be caught. The schemes of the wicked will fall back upon their own heads. It's like they're hunting themselves, lying in wait for their own blood, lurking to destroy themselves. That's what they're doing. They're harming themselves in the process. The shortcut that they thought would bring them honour or riches or perhaps a moment of pleasure will just end up making things a whole lot worse. So don't shoot yourself in the foot. That's what Solomon's saying. There's no shortcut to honour and riches, to life and happiness. There's only one way to build up true honour and wealth. That is God's way, which is the way of wisdom. That's what Solomon is telling us. And we need to be clear about that. There's only one way, God's way, the way of wisdom, the way of listening to God's instruction. So friends, if that's how things are, what is it important for us to do? We need to pay attention. We need to do everything that we can to take the opportunities to learn more. God promises you, if you do that, it will be well worth it.